call that a trumpetess? Trumpet player is Laura Klein. She is the middle school music teacher at Belair, and she is magnificent. She also happens to be married to Alan, but we won't hold that against her. That was a joke. I'm sorry. Welcome back. Alan has been on the road, which is why he's clean shaven and had his eyebrows done, and I don't know what all, but welcome back. We start during the course of the Easter season, which runs about 6 weeks from now until Pentecost. We will be alternating back and forth here in worship between the book of Acts and the book of John. And so today we will hear from Acts, and I will preach on John. Next week it'll be the other way around. So from Acts 5, we hear this. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. So is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And then from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, starting at the 19th verse, we hear the story of Thomas. This Sunday, always, in the liturgical calendar, is Thomas's time, which is why we heard a hymn today that we only hear once a year, because it's about Thomas, and we only get him once a year. But this is a great story. Listen closely. "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' And he said this, and he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Now Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe.' A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord, my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe.' Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Nadia Boltz-Weber is now known by the Lutheran Church as a public theologian. Several years ago, she left her church that she had started less than 15 years ago with 500 members at 15 years to become a public theologian. It's an odd thing, but she is an odd woman. She is 6 feet tall, covered from head to toe in tattoos. The first time I met her, she had a haircut that was shaved all over here and then very long over here. And she'd do this all the time. And that was a haircut that wouldn't even pass Jen Exley's standards, let me tell you. She swears like a sailor, even in her sermons, and is a recovering alcoholic and addict. She's a little crazy. But she's a public theologian. They have now, as a Lutheran church, taken her on the road to the public at large to say, here is a person that can communicate the gospel to people that we don't usually touch in ways that we don't usually do it. And that part of her life is quite remarkable. And she is the most Lutheran person I have ever known. Now, I have taken some criticism here because I have put on Facebook the fact that her new book came out and some things like that. Let me say this. She is a public theologian. Her stuff is out there. The public is listening to it and paying attention to it. If I, as a professional, weren't attuned to that, that would be malpractice on my part. When I went to my church in Nebraska, there was something that they wanted to write in my contract that said, it kind of went like this. We don't want a pastor who's just going to sit in the office and read books. If you went to a doctor that only sat in their office all day, you wouldn't like that doctor very much. And the first thing I thought about that was, man, I am never going to the doctor in Nebraska ever again. Because you know, as professional people, you want a doctor who's up on the latest medical stuff. You want an attorney who knows what the latest Supreme Court cases are, right? You want a financial advisor who's up on best practices and what to do with your money. You want a pastor who knows what's out there in the theological world. So, yes, I read Nadia Boltz-Weber, and some of her stuff is worth paying attention to. Now, one of the things she says is that as church leaders and even as Christians, and I'm cleaning it up because, remember, she swears like a sailor. But one of the things she says is that we have to have our stuff together. Because if we don't have our stuff together, people have to slog through our stuff to get to us. It gets messy, in other words. Right? It is the same kind of idea that Anonymous is famous for saying when Anonymous said, if you don't tend to your wounds, you bleed on people who didn't cut you. So I want to talk a little bit today about wounds. See, Thomas gets a bad rap in this story because what Thomas says is, I have to see the wounds, the scars, to know that Jesus is real. And what we hear about that traditionally in the interpretation is that Thomas therefore doesn't believe in the risen Christ. No, that's not right. What Thomas doesn't believe in is his friends telling him about the risen Christ. Oh. It's about our witness. And Thomas says, but if I see the wounds, if I see the scars, if I see the marks, then I'll believe. And this is why I mention Nadia Boltz-Weber. Because she also has a wonderful thing she does about people's scars. Now, she makes a distinction between wounds and scars. Wounds, she says, are immediate and still open and still hurt. Scars are the places where we've taken the time to heal over. I'm not going there today. Not. Because I'm going to talk about marks in a minute, and you'll get it. Right? But what she says is, she doesn't like people who don't have scars. People without scars, she says, are slippery. There's nothing to hold on to. They have no edge for us to grasp. See, scars are the places where you have allowed your wounds to heal. The places where you have worked at letting God bring healing to you. And those are the places where we as individuals find connection to one another. Right? We know that. If you are in the throes of a divorce and you don't go about the business of healing, right? Every person you meet who wants to date you is a horrible human being. Because they remind you of your ex. But if you go about the business of healing, you might actually be able to enter into a reasonable relationship with somebody. Right? When we talk about addicts, they'll tell you that people will always, who have had an addiction, will always have an addiction. They'll always be an addict. But they find places to heal, so that they're not using all the time. They taint that wound and change it into a scar. And if you've met those people, you know they are marvelously vulnerable and open and honest about who they are and how they've come to grow into being in a different place. That's the message for today. That's the message of why Thomas has to see the wounds. He wants to hang on to Jesus. He wants to connect to Jesus. He wants to know who Jesus is. And let me tell you this. I didn't know this until I was studying for this week. The word in the New Revised Standard is marks. Thomas wants to put his hands in the marks of Jesus. You know what that word is in Greek? Typos. Typos. You know what a typo is? You don't know. Some of you all don't know what a typo is. Because let me just say, I had two-thirds of a master's degree before I had a personal computer to write my papers on. And I'm not that freaking old, okay? You don't know what a typo is, because what you have now is you type into a computer and a little thing comes up and says you've misspelled that, and you go back and correct it. Another little thing comes up and says your grammar is bad, and you go back and correct it. Another little thing says, you know, you don't really want to say it that way, and you go back and fix that, right? In the old days, the good old days, you had a typewriter, and you went like this, and it made a mark, and it struck onto paper. That's what this notion of marks is. It's a strike. Jesus had strikes from nails in his hands and feet and side. And then you took this stuff when you made a mistake and you went. And the typo was fixed. And if you really did it well, you could fix the typo so you never knew the problem had been there in the first place. It was better new. And we have all kinds of marks as human creatures. Our childhoods were bad, our marriages were bad, our growing old is bad. But they're typos. They're things, if we open ourselves up to the healing presence of God, can be made better than new. And in the midst of that, they allow us to have places where we can connect with other people through vulnerability and honesty and compassion. Thank God today for our typos, and pray that we find the healing we need to find new life in Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.